into 1 Kings chapter number 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. Thank God, thank God. I'm going to read from the very first verse. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold and precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." And may God add the blessings, his blessings to the reading. The fame of King Solomon had gone out into all the known world. In fact, anywhere the people went, they were talking about the kingship of Solomon. Talking about his wisdom and about his love for the Lord. I thought that's tremendous. And his outstanding accomplishments. But when the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon and his concern for the Lord that is mentioned in that first verse, the Bible says she found it hard to believe, and she felt like maybe the report was inflated, that it couldn't be true. And so to satisfy her own mind, she made a trip to Jerusalem. She went to the capital city, to Solomon the king. And while she was communing with him, the Bible says, after hearing what Solomon had to say and seeing the house he had built and the sitting of his servants and the meat of his table and the many sacrifices that he was offered and the tenderness of his ministry and all the rest, and even how he went up into the tabernacle of the temple of the Lord's house, the Bible says there was no more spirit in her. It took her breath away. In the seventh verse she said, "I didn't believe it. I didn't believe what I heard until I came and saw for myself and heard from you. Solomon, your accomplishments are more wonderful than I or anyone could ever imagine." And I want to preach this morning on behalf. Behold, the half was not told. And I want to use the title, "Jesus is the greatest of them all." Centuries after this time recorded in 1 Kings, found in the 12th chapter of Matthew, the Bible says the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus and trying to prove his identity, wanting him to prove his identity. They said, "Give us a supernatural sign. Give us a demonstration of your power. If you claim to be God or God's son, show us. Show us a miracle." Jesus responded by saying, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." A greater than Solomon is here. What is that? Yes. Amen, amen. In recent Bible studies, when we were able to have Bible study, we were discussing three topics. Three major topics. Number one, Jesus the Messiah. Number two, the blood. Number three, the nation of Israel. We are going to continue with the nation of Israel when we come back on Wednesday night in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. And I want to start today by letting you know that Jesus is greater than them all. It's like the words of the chorus, how great is our God, how great is His name. What's the next word? He's the greatest one, forever the same. What's the God today? We know Him. Thank God, thank God. I'm going to give some Bible examples. You know the story, no doubt, as well as many. But there was a man before the flood by the name of Enoch, Old Testament prophet of God. The Bible says that he was a great man. He walked with God and was not, but God took him. Now, there's a lot in that statement. He was a perfect man. An upright man. Walked with God. Had fellowship with God every day, not just on Sunday. Fellowship with the Almighty God. Walked with God. The Lord took him, and he was not. Let me just leave something with you. He was taken to heaven in the mortal flesh. No funeral. No hearse. No pallbearers. No gravesite. He was taken to glory. Over 4,000 years ago. And he's still there today. He's alive in the fleshly body today. In the glory world. Somebody said, Brother Jones, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He hasn't inherited. He's going to come back and die in the tribulation period. Enoch, a man of God, a great man of God, walked with God, and God just took him right out of this earth, took him to heaven. But there's one greater than Enoch. His name is Jesus. I read a little bit further in the Bible, and I found there's a man by the name of Job. It's believed that he lived before the flood. A great man. He too was perfect and upright in the sight of God. All of a sudden we find, as we read the first chapter of the book of Job, he lost all of his possessions, everything. He even lost all 10 children, and even his health. And yet with all of that, he did not sin against God. All that he lost. Sometimes we cry the blues because some little thing happens to us. Brother, go to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job. All that he went through. So that all a great man of God, he lived righteously, upright before the Lord, a great story, a great testimony before the Lord, how they served God. And yet there's one greater, his name is Jesus. I went further. I came to a man by the name of Abraham, one of the greatest in the Old Testament, in all the Bible really. And when he was called by God, the Bible said he left his homeland, and he left his family, and he left his friends, and he went out knowing not where he was going. Now, let me give you an illustration. In the early part of the last century, in Holmes Bible College, Greenville, South Carolina, there was a young couple graduated from Bible College, and God has spoken to their hearts and said, I want you to be missionaries, and I want you to go to Nigeria. Another couple, at the same time, God spoke to their hearts, I want you to go to a place called Rhodesia. It's not there anymore. The name has been changed. In Africa. Another couple. This couple has been in this pulpit before. God spoke to them, and I want you to go to Africa. Three couples out of Holmes Bible College, almost at the same time, the last one that I mentioned just a little later. I want you to go to Africa. And they obeyed God. And they stepped out by faith. And they made their way to the land of Africa. And God blessed their ministry. And I've met all these three couples. God bless them. But I want to share something with you. They believe what God said, and God said, I want you to leave here, and I want you to go there. But if he spoke to Abraham, he said, I want you to leave here, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going. All you've got to do is follow me. Some people said, Brother Jones, that ought to be easy. Try it sometime. Obey God, even if he tells you where to go. Everything's not going to be easy. But he's a big God. Abraham obeyed God. I read it in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, how they stepped out and left it all behind, everything. He walked away from his homeland, and he obeyed God and followed him. And the Bible said, God said to him, Abraham, you have obeyed me, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing, and not only you and your family, your seed, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations of the world. Hallelujah. That includes heaven and Virginia. Amen, amen. We are blessed today because of the seed of Abraham. And there's one greater than Abraham. His name is Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. Then there's Samuel,
and David and Daniel and Paul, many others, through the years, great faith, yet no one begins to compare with Jesus. He's the greatest of them all. I'm going to turn to the 6th chapter of Genesis. I'm not going to have you to turn there. I'm going to go to the 6th chapter of Genesis. We're told that Noah, a man like Job, he loved God with all of his heart, was upright, perfect in his generation, in an evil time, one of the most evil times in human history. The Bible said he walked with God, even like Enoch walked with God. And God did something outstanding. God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to build an ark for the salvation of the people. Those that will believe can come into the ark. And you know, and I'm not going to take any time here, but Noah obeyed the Lord. He believed God. He was dedicated to the Lord. He was committed to the Almighty God, and he built the ark. And if you might think that Noah's ministry was in vain, he preached all those years that he was building the ark, and no one cared, and no one desired to come in. And when it was time to go in, and when God shut the door, the only ones inside was Noah's family, Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. Only 8 people out of all the population there. But I want you to know something. He obeyed God, and he saved his family. Thank God for saving his family. If you save your family, brother, you're doing something. You cannot save them, but Lord, you can live the life before them, and God can move in their hearts. Amen. Some might have seen they're going a long ways away from God today. The more you pray, the meaner they get, the further they go. But listen, don't give up praying. His arm is a long arm. He can reach for them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But then I read another scripture. I read over in the New Testament, in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, that Jesus was with his disciples in Caesarea Philippi. He was talking to the disciples and he said, when you're in the marketplace, who do the people say that I am? What are they talking about out there? And the disciples answered, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed the Son of thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Yeah. And then in the next verse he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Noah is called to build an ark and save his family. Jesus is building the church. Yes. Whosoever will, let him come. Yes. Amen, amen. He's building the church. Aren't you glad you're part of it today? Yes. Thank God. Yes. Jesus is building the church. I've had people tell me, Brother John, how about your church is not mine? I'm glad of that. I'm glad I'm a part of it. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. He's doing the building. You will obey. Hallelujah. He'll build it. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I want you to see the picture. Noah built the ark for the saving of his family, but Jesus is building the church for the saving of the entire world. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm a child of the King. My name is written down in glory. Hallelujah. Thank God that Jesus is building the church. Amen. 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 I went further in the scriptures. I found in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to turn there. It's a wonderful scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. When you come to the 24th verse, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sinful season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the rewards. Laid a while on the backside of the desert, keeping his father-in-law's flocks. The Bible says, and you know the story, no doubt everyone here, how that in his time that there was a burning bush, and Moses went to see what was going on, and he was nearing the bush. A voice out of the bush led him to know that he was standing on holy ground. Somehow, I believe oftentimes, this is holy ground right where we are. Amen. We've had a dedication service a long time ago. This altar, this sanctuary, this platform dedicated to God. This is holy. Whatever the Lord is holy. Yes. Bible says that Moses, listen to what God had to say. God began to tell him, Moses, I want you to leave the desert. I want you to go back to Egypt. I want to deliver my people that are in bondage. I want them to be emancipated. I want them to be set free. I want you to take them out of Egypt. And the Bible says that Moses obeyed God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He went back to Egypt. And you know the story well, and I'm not going into all the detail, but there came a time on a certain day during the feast time and that they were to kill a lamb. They were to kill a lamb in the first year. They would take the blood as the lamb had been kept there for 4 days. Take the blood. They would apply it to the doorpost and the door head is three applications of the door and the blood to save the oldest of his child, his oldest child in the household to save his firstborn. He shed the blood to save his firstborn. I want you to know that Jesus went to the cross not just for the firstborn but for the secondborn and the and whatever we were both, he came to save us all. Amen, amen. Thank God, we're serving that kind of God. It was April the 14th, 1491 B.C., when Moses put that blood over the doorpost, and that night they marched out of Egypt. I'm glad the blood has been applied to my heart. When Jesus died on the cross, it was not to have blood applied on the doorpost, but it's to wash our sins away. Hallelujah. Forgive us. Applied to our hearts. Brother, if the blood has been applied to your heart right now, you've got something to rejoice about. Devil, try to sap your victory, tell you that there's nothing to live for. We've got everything out there to live for. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. As great as Moses was yet, on the authority of God's Word, I can tell you that there's one greater whose name is Jesus. According to the words that I read earlier in Hebrews, there came a time in Moses' life that the pomp and ceremony of the Pharaoh's court no longer satisfied. No longer did anything for him. Something was missing. Something was lacking in his life. There came a time when he chose to identify with the people of God. Although they were suffering and going through a hard time in their lives, he chose to identify with them rather than to continue with the things of this world, the abundance of the things of this world. They no longer had an attraction, so he walked away from it all. He left it all behind to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to think about it this morning. He left the courts of Egypt. He left Pharaoh's courts where he had power, where he had position, where he had prosperity. He had it all, but he walked away. Somebody might have said, but Moses, you're a fool to leave us behind. Listen, a man is a fool to hold on to anything unless he's got God.
Yes, Lord.
How many have lost their soul holding on to something that didn't amount to one thing? A little habit. A little habit had them bound. America has now legalized marijuana in Washington, legalized marijuana in Colorado, legalized same-sex marriage all over. The judge here in Virginia has overturned what we desire. Overturned it, and you can just take it down. You can mark this down. I'll tell you, this is going to happen. America's on its way down.
Amen.
Unless God, if people turn to God.
Exactly.
We're headed the same direction Rome was.
Yes, sir.
Rotting, rotting from within. God, help the people of God to pray. Get a hold of God. We don't need to get a packet in March. We don't need to get out there and protest. We need to call on God. He's the answer. He's the answer. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Moses. That man of God came to a place where he felt like there's something missing. There must be something better. So he walked away from the courts of Pharaoh. Think about it if he will. After all that he had, he walked away from it. There's one greater than Moses. He walked away from the splendors of heaven, the golden streets, his place near the throne, the angelic choir. That's one thing that I really love. I love the ministry. I love to hear people preach. And I heard Bishop Simon say one time, there's two times that I really love to preach. When somebody's preaching and making a mess of it, I wish I could preach it. The other time is when God anoints me, give me some praise. That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen. I thought about this man called Moses. How they left all that in the courts of Pharaoh, but Jesus left behind the palaces, the golden streets, the angelic choir, his place near the throne, all the beauties of heaven. He left it all behind to come to this earth. And let me tell you this, he came to identify with you and me. He came to be a part of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, we've got something to shout about. And the rejoice about, amen, amen. He came. Moses applied the blood, but Jesus applied the blood to our hearts. Moses delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, but Jesus delivers sinful man from bondage of sin and sets him free. Hallelujah. He washed our sins away. Brother, it's good to be a Christian. I remember vividly a woman coming to an altar years ago when we were pastoring. Went to the altar crying. Got up from there with joy in her heart. An evil woman, known in the city. When she got up, she went and sat down on the front bench, right there in that church. Before we left, she said, I'd like to testify. She said something like this, no doubt everyone here knows my life. I've lived in sin, and people in this town know it. I'm ashamed. But when I came to the altar this morning, the Lord spoke to me, if I'd come, he'd forgive me. And she said, as she stood right there that morning after being saved, she said, it feels like a big load has been lifted. I don't know how you felt, but brother, I'm glad it's gone. I've been set free. Hallelujah. The Bible says, who he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm no longer in bondage to sin. God forbid that we should continue in sin after being saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some people that have been saved said, Brother Jones, have just not been sanctified. You better get sanctified in the hurry, because if you've got sin in your life, you're going to be left behind. This woman stood, she said, how that the Lord was with them. The joy bells were ringing in the heart. Let me say this today. I don't care how deep in sin a person might be. When they come to the Lord, he changes them. He forgives them. He changes their lives. And their new creatures in Christ Jesus got something to rejoice about. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Moses brought the people of Israel out across the wilderness. 40 years. How did God minister 40 years and brought them to the village? Banks of the Jordan River. But that's as far as he could go. But I've read in the Bible that Jesus will go with you all the way. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What's the next words? Thou art with me. Same words he told me the night he called me to preach. I will be with you. Hallelujah. He will be with you. He will be with you. He will be with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. There's another songwriter said, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Let me leave this with you as well today. We've got some getting up in years. In our church, one of our members is 96 years of age. Some of us are nearing the end of the journey. We're on the backside of the hill. We know that. But I want you to know the Bible says we'll not have to cross Jordan alone. He'll be there to hold our hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The same God that holds your hand today and walks with you and talks with you and loves you and fellowships with you, he'll be there. Hallelujah. Some people have the idea that if I live my own life and live without God, when I come down to die, he'll be there to cut me over, help me to get over. No, no, no. You'll be lost. If you go with him here, he'll be with you there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here is Moses. Here is Moses, brought them as far as he could. But he couldn't take him across that, said he wouldn't. But Jesus will take you all the way. Hallelujah. He'll take you all the way home. Brother, that's enough to shout about the rest of the day. Maybe into tomorrow. Enoch, Job, Abraham, Samuel, David, Daniel, Paul, Noah, Moses, they were all great, and many, many, many others. And I thank God for the accomplishments that they did for the Lord. And yet none, no one ever begins to compare with a man called Jesus. Don't ever take Jesus lightly. Don't ever let it be old hat. I'm saved and I'm not excited anymore. I'm not rejoicing anymore. I'm saved and I know I'm saved and nothing seems to thrill. Folks, He'll thrill you every day. His mercies are new every morning. He'll walk with you every step of the journey. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's a wonderful Savior. Come to fear him. I went to the cross a while ago. How great is our God. How great is His name. He's the greatest one forever the same. Well, He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I'll never leave you. So put your trust in me. But there's another verse, another song right next to it. Number 71. It says, how great thou art. I want us to stand this morning and I want us to worship God. I want us to sing how great thou art. I want you to get your mind off of lunch. I want you to get your eyes and minds off of tomorrow. Whatever's going on around about. I want you to get your eyes on Him. How great thou art. The arm of flesh will fail you, but He'll never fail. Will you stand with me? Just because then sings my soul.